This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now are you worried? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're hanging out at Buffalo's Cafe right here off of Buford Highway, guys, incoming. Come on out and see us. We'll be out here until 7 having a good time. Mike, there are already a couple of guys that have come out to say hello to
us. Yeah, man, we got these two dudes who rolled in. They actually called ahead to reserve VIP seating here at Buffalo's in the bar. And give a shout-out to a coach over here who's off duty right now as a financial planner. And real quick, you see Marge, the guy in the glasses over
there? Yes, sir.
I haven't seen this knucklehead in 12 years, right? We played in, I think it was Chipper's golf tournament at Bears Best, and he goes, I'm calling you right now, and Large Marge shows up on my phone. If you remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So anyway, he's like royalty here. Jackie the bartender's like, yeah, I put up with this guy every week, but we're hanging out here at Buffalo's where the cast of characters, and good to kind of reconnect with some old friends.
No doubt, and we'd love to get a chance to see you guys out here as well. Listen, we got a big show. We're going to talk to Rob Bradford from he does an Odyssey MLB Insider, but he does a great podcast. Baseball isn't boring, and for us right now, it isn't. Listen, I said yesterday, I think we're in crisis mode, and we lose another one last night. But Mike and I were just talking about this. It's bigger than just the losses now. Things have happened that are compiling onto this team, and all of a sudden now, we may come back home without a W. We may be 0-7 by the time the Braves come back home and have their home opener, which nobody in their right mind would have thought, Mike. So
right.
The compiling of things is injuries and obviously the Profar suspension.
Right. But then again, guys, I know that I've been focusing a lot on pitching, but it's been the hitting. Because, yes, we've been terrible. And the thing is, nobody's going to be this bad all season long. Even, like, the most biggest baseball, yes, win the replacement
nerd
would say that, you know, the law of averages says you're going to start hitting. You will get to your baseball card, although Sean Murphy technically never got even close to his baseball card last year. But, I mean, Austin Riley is not that he's not a 118 hitter. Ozzie's not a 118 hitter. You know, these guys will get it together. But I do think without, you know, a leader to kind of break the ice or say, hey, guys, let's just have a beer. Let's go out and hit a strip club on the Sunset Strip and let's blow off some steam. That guy doesn't exist on this team.
Do they have strip clubs on the Sunset Strip?
Yes, they still do.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe. Well, it's been a while. I'm 30 years removed from that experience. But anyway, there's no leadership in that clubhouse. We're of the opinion. We asked, let's be honest, Money Harris about, 2 months ago, and we said, who's the leader? What's that, 3 seconds of silence? Before he goes, well, we have a lot of guys. Right, this is when the chips are down. You need someone to say, hey, guys, the sun will come up tomorrow. But the other side of this, Carl, it's not just Profar. Then you lose Ronaldo Lopez. Now, Ronaldo Lopez was one of the great stories in baseball last year, but it's also another one of these Alex Anthopoulos bargain hunting expeditions, which is now blown up because he wasn't used to throwing like that.
So last night, I mean, listen, Dustin May, it doesn't matter who the Dodgers throw out. They're great. And May went 5 innings, gave up a hit. You know, we had a chance in this game. They gave up a run, Mookie Betts with a throwing error in the second.
Right.
But we had a chance, Mike, where another great defensive play was made by Teoscar Hernandez, where he catches a ball by Drake Baldwin, goes over the right field fence.
I mean, Drake catch a break at the plate?
He can't. I mean, he hits a ball, warning track power, and then last night you're like, oh, that's gone. No, it's not. Teoscar Hernandez makes a great play. So we're having issues just getting the little things that usually happen in games go our way. And, you know, you look at the pitching rotation now, Mike, and you go, okay, so no Lopez. We know Strider's not back anytime soon. Chris Sale went last night, and you said it. you gotta try to win when Sale's on the hill, and they weren't able to get it done.
If I had told you we're gonna go 0-2 with Sale on the West Coast, I don't think any Braves fan out there would have said that. Hell, any baseball fan, period. So it's a struggle. Everyone's looking at the historic reference now. Yes, historically, this is the worst start ever. And I literally lost my mind today. So I posted something on Twitter. Follow us. We're Carl at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. I'm Mike Bell at Mike Bell ATL. I had a guy going, well, now maybe it's time to realize Snicker isn't the guy. You fired the batting instructor after last year. Seitzer was the same guy that took you to the greatest offense you'd ever seen. Snicker, every season, Carl, has to deal with, what, 3/5 of a starting pitching rotation? If we're being generous, they always rely on the minors and a bunch of, you know, bargain basement guys. And then last year, I lost track how many different lineups he used last year. The guy should have been the NL Manager of the Year. So, guys, I don't know what you're looking at. Stop it right there. Snicker is not the problem. The problem is this team is really struggling at the plate, and we don't have any pitching depth.
404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you. You can text us as well. We do have access to the text line. Find us on social media, guys. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We did go 0-9 in 2016, and I know a lot of people don't remember that because that was a 90-loss season. But we're not there yet, Mike. And it looks like, listen, even if we win a game and salvage a game, it just feels like this is not moving in the right direction. Now, we're not going to play the Dodgers and the Padres, who are two of the best teams, the rest of the way. But you've got to start feeling like this is going to start moving in the right direction. And that's part of the issue. Dodgers, on the other hand, by the way, 7-0, 9-0. You go back to 1955, 10-0. That was the 1940 Brooklyn Dodgers. Mm. They are off to a historic start for themselves right now.
Now, just like we shouldn't get down, even though it's pretty friggin' awful, I couldn't believe – actually, I can't believe this. I'm watching SportsCenter this morning. I'm rubbing Ike, the dog's belly, in the bed because he comes in there and watches TV with me. And all of a sudden I hear, coming up next, one analyst says, this is the greatest team of all time. All right, are they the 27 Yankees? Can we stop right now?
They're going there.
They're getting there, and it sure looks like they're going to be amazing.
People are piling on and starting to believe that. I'm not going to go there.
I'm sorry. One weekend of baseball, seven games does not give you that carte blanche to make those kind of pronouncements. And, yes, they look great. And as we know, guys, if the team with the most money and the biggest stars was guaranteed to win a World Series, the Yankees and Dodgers would only win it, right?
Yes.
Not the way it works.
So where do we go? How do we fix what's going on? And Mike's point, he's right. It's not SNIT. It's not AA. Okay, now he's tasked to fix this.
Right.
He's got to try to find the pieces to fill in the pieces in the puzzle. But he did everything he possibly could to start the season. Again, it's no one's fault that you have injuries or a guy is sticking a needle in his butt, whatever he was doing. Okay,
right.
That's not AA, and that's certainly not Snicker. They would be complete idiots if they fired Snicker at this point, getting off to this start. Let's be clear about that. And I think there are smarter people in the room who understand what's going on here. But, Mike, unless we start hitting and hitting consistently, nothing's going to change for this team. And even though, you know, last night, you look at the scoring opportunities, far few in between. I mean, that's part of the issue. Chris Sale, you know, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts. Chris Sale didn't walk any of those guys last night.
Right. And then you get into, you don't want to get caught pressing, where then you start to steal bases and take yourself out of big innings. Not that Snicker's going to do that, but at some point you need to sort of jumpstart your offense.
Yes.
And that gets back to, I think that Money Harris should be stealing more bases. I mean, first off, he's got to get on base.
Get on base.
Like everybody else on this team right now. You know, Profar was an element we kind of liked at the top of the lineup. I mean, okay, he's gone. You got to pivot. But this is why, as a guy watching the Braves since 1998 here in Atlanta, there were years where there were no expectations when they scrapped it. You know, wait till Truist Park, or back then, wait till SunTrust, right? Wait till the ballparks get spilled.
Turner.
And going from Turner Field to the new stadium.
Sure.
But now you're like, okay, there's an expectation with this team. Around the league, it's making headlines. People look at this Braves team and go, what the is going on with these guys?
I don't know if anybody has the answers. And I don't know if anybody inside the clubhouse has the answers. All we know right now is they're struggling. It's not as if they're not trying. I will never debate the effort of guys, but I will tell you that, as one great baseball player said, 90% of this is mental. And once you get in your head, and once you're not making the pitches, and once you're not making the throws, or you're not hitting,
right,
those things start to compile. And that's what's going on right now with this team. And, again, I hope we salvage a game, but even if we don't, coming home winless – is going to put a lot of pressure on this team during this next homestand, their first homestand.
You're back at the hotel. You know, whether you're tripping it out, you're having some fun, tripping the light, fantastic, or maybe you just sit in the room. You get
They should be in their rooms.
Yes, MLB Network or ESPN or even on your phone. You're 0-6. You're a disaster. Money Harris batting 130. Riley batting 91.
I'm sorry?
Riley, 091. You know what? I was really excited about Drake Baldwin. He's not ready. Okay, and you know what would be easy for a young rookie? Everyone else is hitting because now everyone's pressing, to your point. And I hate to say this.
Maybe we really got to get Sean Murphy up sooner than later.
Yeah, he's coming.
But I mean, because
you need his experience.
Because if Sean Murphy right now, if Sean Murphy batting like 200 would be a slugger right behind Marcell Ozuna batting 214.
But here's the deal: Drake Baldwin is a better hitter than Sean Murphy, or at least he has been coming up through the minor leagues. Right? He's the number one prospect in our farm system. He's got it, Mike. But to your point, nobody else around him is helping him.
No, usually a rookie comes up. He's got support in the lineup. There's a rookie where he's got to press because he's part of a terrible 7-8-9 right now.
And so Murphy's coming, but, you know, I think you've got to fill in the blanks with this pitching staff now. Bryce Elder today, right? Blake Snell, Bryce Elder?
Yeah, and this gets back to what we said earlier about coaches going, that's not a winning proposition. Remember, guys, Grant Holmes actually, you know, kept you under five runs in the game. Last night, Chris Sale, not a bad outing. But now you're bringing up Bryce, and we know what the ceiling is with Bryce Elder.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, guys, we're 2 years removed from Bryce Elder being an all-star. He's just a dude without electric stuff who doesn't have enough to push past the Dodgers.
All right, we're going to continue to talk about our Braves and what else is going on around Major League Baseball. Rob Bradford's going to join us again, Odyssey MLB Insider. He's really, really good. Host of Baseball Isn't Boring, the podcast. And by the way, we've talked to him leading up to the season. He really liked our team. I like our team. I think everybody around the league thought, hey, okay, you know what, Braves will be right back in the mix. And I still feel like there's plenty of season left. But every night that goes by and you see that you know, we're not competitive, we're not scoring runs, it gives you more reason to pause and be like, okay, when is this thing going to click in? You cannot wait 20 games in, guys. You can't. You will find yourself 5, 7, 8, 10 games out just like that. And by the way, nobody is playing terrific baseball in our division right now. It's just, you know, you got to feel better about this team. And Mike, I would ask any Braves fan right now, 7 games in, what do you feel good about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, by the way, did the torpedo bat shipment not arrive?
It better get here quickly.
Everybody else picks up this bat. They never use it in batting practice. We talked about De La Cruz the other day for the Reds. I mean, we need the Braves to get these torpedo bats before they ban them, which apparently is now growing steam around the league. The tush push and the torpedo bat might not make it to Memorial Day.
Yeah, well, listen, this has been the big debate, right? I mean, one or the other, what's worse for their particular sport? Neither, in my opinion. But it's only because the teams that are having success with it, you know, they're not going to complain. And if you're not using them or your guys haven't been adapted to them yet, you're going to say, well, why aren't our guys using them? Just like Mike said, why aren't our guys using them yet? Whatever the situation is, we got to figure it out.
To put it in perspective, the Braves are batting 137 as a team. The last Braves team to bat that low, the 1942 Boston Braves.
All right. We'll see what Rob Bradford has to say about this. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe, guys. Come on and join us in coming right here off of Buford Highway. We're hanging out. We'd love to see you. We're going to talk more baseball with Rob and find out what he thinks about the Braves. How do you fix this is the question. It's Dukes and Bell. Home opener is Friday, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe right here off Buford Highway. Up here and coming, man. Hanging out.
Wow, Carl, I got to tell you, hanging out with some of these guys at the bar, it's like the ghost of shots past. Last time I saw this guy right here, we were at the Chop House, and he goes, yeah, man, I ran into you and Johnny, and I think we did like a lot of Jaeger. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then Marge over here, like, yeah, I ran with you guys. We wound up at the Pony. Yeah, that's there's a statute of limitations on that one.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But where's that guy now? That guy doesn't exist anymore, by the way.
Happily married, Carl.
That guy doesn't exist anymore.
Every day, another slice of paradise.
Braves home opener is Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to be there, guys, to get you ready for the start of the home opener at Murph's at Cobb Galleria for a special broadcast with us from 2 to 7. Come on out and hang out with us. Lead up to the first pitch of the Braves' first home game. And it's brought to you by Verizon and by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free. And by Racetrack, guys. Whatever gets you going. That's Friday, 2 to 7 at Murph's on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some more baseball because we're trying to figure out what's going on with our team right now. It's funny. We had on this guy. He does a terrific job on his podcast. Baseball Isn't Boring. He's an Odyssey MLB insider, Rob Bradford. And all offseason, Rob was like, look, you guys will be good. You're going to be good. All is well. You're going to be good.
You guys are sweating the small stuff.
And Rob, we're not good. We're not any good right now. What is going on?
I was just thinking that. First of all, it's always a pleasure to be on with you guys. And I was just thinking that. I think every single time I come on, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Like, you're good. Don't worry about it. You're one of the better teams. I will say this now. I have reached the point with the Atlanta Braves where I am officially worried. Yes, I cannot come on, and I would love to be screaming from the mountaintops, hey, there's nothing to see. They'll be okay. It's only six games. It's okay. But what you factor in the injuries, the suspension, the way that they're playing, all of it. I will say this, though, and you know, I want to take a heat off. This is one of my pet peeves. When the hitting goes bad or the pitching goes bad, everyone's like, fire the hitting coach, fire the pitching coach. Tim Hyers, I'll get out ahead of this one. Tim Hyers is a very good hitting coach. Tim Hyers has won a couple World Series
yep.
in the last seven years. And this is not his fault. This is not his fault. So let me get out ahead of that anyway.
Well, just to give a perspective, seeing as you are from Boston, and again, our buddy Rob Bradford, host of Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, I said to Carl last segment, apparently the last time we started this bad, FDR was president.
Uh-oh.
We were in Boston. It was the Boston Braves. So, yes, the law of averages, Rob says, the baseball card, you will get to that point at some point this season. But they didn't really give the pitching staff – I always think we don't pay for pitching. And now with the loss of Ronaldo Lopez, even when we start hitting, we're kind of down to relying on young players from the minors.
Yeah, and first of all, I what you really should have done is called my dad, who was a Boston Braves fan growing up.
Wow.
So he could have given you a first-hand account of what you're going through right now. But you know, I think that – you know, listen, with the Braves, this is the conversation I think we had in spring training in the offseason, which is, hey, yeah, they didn't make a ton of moves, but they're getting guys back, and they have these guys. There's a reason why these guys were being applauded for giving these extensions, because they're star players. They're players that every team wants. If you get them back healthy, you're going to be okay. But the problem is that now you aren't getting them back. You aren't getting guys back healthy. You're losing guys. One of the guys you went out and got, you're not going to have in pro far. And you didn't add the fail-safe guys in the offseason. So this is where it's coming back to haunt them, where they just sort of said what I had been saying. Just ride it out. It's okay. Well, evidently, you know, you can't do that when it goes this far south. You actually need to invest and get those sort of guys.
Rob, I'm sick of all of this conversation. I'm sick of it. About the Dodgers being the best ever. They're going to be the best ever we've seen, and we'll never see anything ever like it in our lives, and cherish this moment because the Dodgers are
I'm the 27 Yankees. Is that what they are now?
I mean, I get it. They're 7-0. I understand it. But, Rob, come on. Can we temper this a little bit?
Yeah. I would love to say 162-0 just for to say that I predicted it. But, no, there's going to be a time where the Dodgers slump. There's going to be a time where another team catches up. Listen, I mean, the Padres are also right there. The Padres, let's not forget about the Padres. The Padres are the team that almost knocked out the Dodgers. One game away from knocking out the Dodgers last year that the Dodgers were petrified of, and they're still sitting there. You have another team in that division, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think is a very, very good team. So, yeah, it's early. But, you know, with the Dodgers, it's hard to ignore that we talk about the levels of if this doesn't work, then you have that. If this doesn't work, you have that. The Braves doesn't have that level right now. The Dodgers have like three levels of this, which we've already seen. Mookie, he's not playing, no problem. Oh, you need another closer because the closer pitched last night? Let me give you the other closer. I mean, this is what the Dodgers is. This is why the Dodgers are so good, because they can't have so many guys hurt, injured, not available, and still be one of the better teams.
Talking with our good buddy Rob Bradford, guys, from Boston. He's one of our MLB insiders. All right, let's talk about Rafael Devers. Let's talk about Bregman coming to town, overturning the apple cart. And one of the – I think the Braves are bad. Individually, it's the worst start for anybody in the show.
Yeah, I mean, and I love the people who are saying, you're overreacting with Devers. It's only five games. Well, I'm sorry, it's history. Like, it's history. When you go 0-19 and with 15 strikeouts, and not only are you going 0-19 with 15 strikeouts, you are perceived as one of the best hitters in baseball who is going 0-19 with 15 strikeouts. This is history that we're seeing. And there are so many levels to why we think this is happening, whether it's moving to DH, whether it's not being out of shape, whether it's, you know, adjusting to the new role, whatever it is, what we're seeing right now is history. It's not just a slump. And I'm sorry, I know Alex Cora said this the other day. Well, if this is July, no one's paying attention. Yes, they are paying attention to July because it's historic. So, yeah, I mean, I think for a player this level, especially, I've never seen anything like this where a guy is getting up there and just seemingly having no chance at all. It's pretty amazing.
What's up with these bats, Rob? Everybody's making a big deal of it, and rightfully so. I mean, but it's the new hot thing in sports, to be quite honest with you. I mean, this is like, you know, the PGA getting some kind of club that everybody's using, and it's allowing all of these guys to hit the ball, you know, 30, 40 yards further. What's the deal with these torpedo bats?
Yeah, so I just did a couple podcasts. I did one with a couple veteran relievers, Daniel Bard and Adam Ottavino, because I wanted to get their take. And their take, I was just sort of surprised. They're like, hey, listen, you know what? It's the evolution of baseball. We know that equipment in baseball evolves. It's just amazing that it takes something so long to evolve. So I think that they understand that, hey, this is just the next level. But what's amazing to me, guys, is that we didn't talk about it. I didn't even know about these torpedo bats until the Yankees put up a 20 spot on somebody.
Right.
They were using them all spring training. I just asked Ottavino this. I said, when did this first come on your radar? He's like, I saw Lindor using one last year. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's like this is – and Stanton evidently was using one at the end of last year as well. So it's just amazing that we are all of a sudden talking about this. But it's not going away, and what we're going to see is more and more and more. I know that, you know, I'm walking into Camden Yards right now, and I already know that Alex Bregman, for instance, put on his Instagram, here's my new bat. Well, guess what? It's a torpedo bat. And we're going to see more and more and more of this.
Talking baseball, guys, with one of the best guys. Check out his podcast, guys, called Baseball Isn't Boring. Rob Radford joins us, MLB Insider, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe in Swinging Cumming. All right, man. We talked about, you know, the hitting, the pitching. The problem with the Braves, and there was just a press release that they just bought some more real estate to attach to the battery. It's almost like with private equity and everything else going wrong in pro sports, are teams more about real estate than winning? What is a realistic expectation, I guess? It's a loaded question, Rob. We know that, you know, the Dodgers and Mets are living in a stratosphere the Braves will never get to. But it's almost like you've got a good core. The point I'm getting to is we should be spending more to push over the top. It's now going to be 4 years since we won a World Series.
Yeah, and I think that what owners should understand, and we all know owners have money to spend. It's all depending on what the owners want to spend. They all can afford it. So owners should see that how you win a World Series is usually you pay money. That's how it is. You allocate the money to the best players, the players who are the surest bets. That's how you win World Series. That's how you get into the World Series. That has proven. And every once in a while, you're going to hit on Cleveland Guardians or Tampa Bay Rays or, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, the Texas Rangers, the Arizona Diamondbacks. You're going to hit on one of these teams. The Marlins makes the playoffs. And some people will say, oh, no, look, you don't have to spend money. No, well, they're here and then they're gone. If you want sustainability, you say you're an owner, you go, you pay the money. And also, by the way, another thing that drives me nuts is that when owners don't see the value of winning a World Series. This is what we should be all about. We get into analytics, we get into bobblehead nights, and we get into all this other stuff, which is great to talk about. Alternative uniforms, City Connect, all of that. But the one thing that we shouldn't lose sight of is that winning a World Series, as you guys know, is really, really, really good for business. And to win a World Series, you got to spend money to make money.
You do. And you can't stay put. And I think part of what we tried to do, and I'm not saying it's the wrong strategy, is, Rob, you know this, we locked up our young core a lot earlier than a lot of teams. And now all of those escalators are coming into play, and now the Braves are like, look, we have more guaranteed money, you know, out there than anybody else because of what we did. And it's not allowed them to go in and invest the way that they necessarily needed to. Rob, it's always good to talk with you, man. Tell the people where they can find your podcast, by the way.
Yeah, just Baseball Isn't Boring. The socials are at BB Isn't Boring. I really appreciate it. I got a tattoo, baseballs and boring, on my arm. So I there's no turning back now. So do me a favor. Go listen to it so I feel a little better about myself. So there you go.
Total
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Total commitment.
Thanks so much, Rob. We appreciate you, man. Hey, we've got a lot more to dive into, guys. Coming up, we'll get to the Daily Download. Hawks last night laid an egg. I mean, that was ridiculous because the Trailblazers suck. But we said
and the Hawks
this yesterday.
Are in deep, deep doo-doo.
You want me to buy in? You're trying to get me to buy into this thing.
Well, listen, I can't either. I mean, the bottom line is they're two up and down. The bottom, you know, when you want to believe, then they let you down. All right, they're still in the play-in, but they have seven games left. Tonight, a back-to-back. We'll talk about it when we come back. And also, the latest from Arthur Blank as we dissect what he said yesterday about Raheem Morse and Terry Fontenot. Next. You guys something. Our listeners are already turning up out here and coming, okay? I walked up to the bar and literally they're like, hey, we're about to do shots. I'm like, fellas, ladies, this is 2:40. What are we talking about? They're ready to have a good time.
Yeah, they're getting it in, Carl. I mean, it is called Buffalo's Cafe, but I think we could also known as Day Drinkers.
Yes. So
I mean, it's on like Donkey Kong right now.
You know what? I love coming more and more already. I mean, this is awesome right now.
I just met Johnny over here, and he's like, you really need to move up here. The problem is the wife's got to travel for work. You're a boater, and the lake is always a scene.
It is.
I mean, my thing is every time I'm up here, you know, we always talk about, you know, playing golf, going to Lake Lanier, Cocktail Cove, and all that. There's always that experience, usually around happy hour, late in the afternoon. Hey, guys, my wife got new boobs. You want to see them? No! This swinger thing. How many of you guys are swingers? Hey, show of hands. There you go. There's four already in the bar, Carl.
Is that why we're doing these drinks? Wait a minute. Was that not revealed when they were talking to me up there?
Just you know, Carl, my wife's originally from Pittsburgh, and she has a big thing for Coach Tomlin. We were wondering if you want to come back to the house later.
Let me go get my shades. But we're up here, man. We're having a good time. And seriously.
Cheers,
thanks,
guys. Great crowd. Give yourself a round of applause, by the way.
Thanks to all of our listeners. We appreciate you guys. Cheers, guys. Thank you guys for coming out. This is how we get down on Dukes and Bell. All right. We got a lot more to get to. Big shout out to Rob Bradford as well, who stopped by talking about the Braves. Real quick, before we get into the Daily Download, Mike, we got a couple of things we need to talk about. You just mentioned this to Rob Bradford, but tell our listeners specifically what you were talking about.
Yeah, look, I get it. You're in the business to basically service the fans, and you've created the battery. And I know at the time when we said they're going to put a ballpark at 75 and 285, I think you and I probably spent weeks saying this is going to be a traffic nightmare.
That was a big shot.
It's going to be unbelievable in a bad way, and it's been nothing but a success. So I want to – we have a lot of friends who work for the Braves. But when you see an announcement from Atlanta Braves Holding, of which I'm a shareholder,
okay,
and they say that they've announced they've purchased Pennant Park Office Complex, six buildings. Now, they don't say how much it cost them, but apparently they're adding more real estate to what they've got at the Battery Complex. Pennant Park is a six-building office complex at the intersection of I-75 and 285 adjacent to the Battery. 763 square feet of office space, 34 acres. So if somebody in the real estate business will tell me specifically where that is that our old building?
It may be.
Yeah.
Up
there on the other side. Either
on
way.
On the other side of Windy Hills, are you talking about?
Yeah, and we'll get the specifics on exactly where it is. Adjacent to the Chattahoochee River National Park, Interstate North Circle, over by the Weather Channel.
That is. Yeah, so that's over, it's on the other side.
So the Braves have bought more real estate, and that's great. But I would like more pitching. I would like them to have bought, you know, $150 million in starting pitching so we could compete with the elites of this league. I know when you're not hitting, pitching seems like an abstract concept, and I know that we'll probably get a nasty grant from somebody over there. But to me, Carl, sometimes you wonder between Tony Ressler and Braves Holdings, are we real estate companies or are we in the business of winning championships in this city?
It's valid. I mean, look, when the Braves built Truist and they built around it, we were all a little skeptical. Now we get it, right?
It's been amazing.
It's been amazing.
It's so good that everybody, including college teams, wants one of their own.
So from that standpoint, and look, it helped them create more revenue that they in turn can turn around and hopefully, you know, spend. But the reality is, and I've been told this, Mike, that's not necessarily how it works. Even if they're making money at the Battery, this is about, hey, the Braves, whatever you catch, if you're a fishing reference, you can eat. So if they bring in, if they sell out more games, they go to the playoffs, they are selling more drinks and food at the Battery,
right,
yes, they can and then, you know, invest more into the team. But I don't know how this plays into that.
Is it simply buying parking lots?
I don't know.
I mean, are they just buying real estate for parking lots? And I don't know. At the end of the day, if this improves the quality of the product on the field, because as we said a million times, before they were talking about paying down debt, the average fan doesn't give a crap.
No.
They expect you
we
to
want to win.
They expect you to spend. Yes, the fans expect you to spend like a drunken sailor. I understand there's going to be some fiscal responsibility. And I know no one, not everyone can be the Mets and the Dodgers. But, I mean, this is still a team which is making money and they're selling out at home. And again, God bless them if this is, if it, at the end of the day, makes more money for the ball club. But still, as a fan, I want to see tangible things on the field, pieces that are missing that you didn't invest in the offseason.
Yeah, it's valid. It's interesting. Mike and I were talking about it. You posed that question to our guest, and I was curious to.
And
to,
Rob's old school from Boston, you know, covers Major League Baseball. Rob Bradford, he knows.
He knows. I just think, you know, Braves fans, there's going to be a lot of distractions as we move through this losing right now, and until we get back on the right track. And listen, it's, you know, we got to win 7 to get back to 500. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight.
See, this is the thing that people are saying, look, we'll be okay. And I kept saying, yes, 2021, you got off to a terrible start. You lost Ronald Acuna early in the season. Some knucklehead on the radio. I don't know who he was. Carl said fire sale.
I heard his voice.
But, you know, you get to a point where you dig such a hole that you stop playing for the division. Now, we have no idea. Are the Marlins going to be clutch all season? Is Philly going to, you know, flex their muscle? Are the Mets going to get healthy? The Mets are already talking about Alcantara. We just talked about him with the Marlins.
That's a player
the Braves should be looking at.
Well, they will, Mike. And people think he's automatically going to be on the block like when the trade deadline happens. And if he is, he will be the number one pitcher that teams are trying to get. The Braves should be in that conversation. And, again, we talked about this yesterday. We got to get to Daily Download. But the Braves will have additional money. So it's not as if there will be excuses for Alex Anthopoulos if Alcantara becomes available. All right, we're live at Buffalo's Cafe, guys. Back in the studio, Big O is our engineer. Obviously, Turtle is executive producing. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Fire sale it. Fire sale. I never said that.
Story number one.
Coming out of the NFL annual meetings yesterday, Raheem Moore is talking about a few different things. I want you to hear this one. We didn't talk about this yesterday, Mike, but one of the things he said as he was being interviewed by the national reporters, and we're going to let you guys hear from our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network, who sat down with Arthur Blank later in the show. But Raheem Morris was talking about never having enough edge last year.
Right.
Listen to this.
I think you can't have enough edge. You know, I think that's got to be something that you're always constantly doing. It's different, you know, probably a different position than you're talking about the quarterback when you only play one. You know, when you're talking about on the edge, you play a bunch of different people. You got a chance to roll those guys around. You can make the movement that you have to make necessary to go out there and try to win matchups. And I think you want to continue to add those guys as much as you can.
All right, so is he telling us that is our investment with the first overall pick, with our pick at 15, that he's saying you can never have enough edge? Okay, if that's the case, then that's where we're going, right?
Well, I mean, you do have guys which nobody's seen yet. Braylon Trice, that's just a name that you may or may not remember from how good he looked in preseason, but Trice will be there. You know, Dorlas, we haven't really seen him much. Rook Arororo was on IR for half the season, only played 8 games. So some of these guys, I think they believe, are in the building. Some of this could be a smokescreen. Some of this we may still go corner. Hell, man, we could go offensive tackle after all the guys they've been looking at. And you still – I know you and I have debated.
But is that going to disappoint Falcons fans?
Yes, but you know what would be more disappointing? Here's the thing, though. Time out. Wait, hey, hold on, brah.
If we go offensive line, aren't you going to be disappointed?
Right. Let me ask you this. Second part to the question. Won't you be more disappointed if Michael Penix Jr. is a greasy spot in the center of Mercedes-Benz looking at the roof because the right tackle, who's now the blind side, isn't good enough? See, that's something nobody's talking about. You know, we got Caleb McGarry, who's good going forward, not so good when he goes beep, beep, beep. So that may be something they're thinking about.
He's not Kirk Cousins. He can move.
Not that much.
He's not a guy that's going to be in the pocket and can't move.
I don't know.
If they don't go edge, the coaches.
What if it was your child? What if it was your son and McGarry's protecting his blind side?
The coach is admitting we didn't have enough edge. Meanwhile, he also said, Raheem Morris, talking about who's going to be our center. You're worried about the O-line? Who's going to be our center, coach?
It was 8 games that he was able to go out there and really be competitive and play at a high level. So, to be able to go watch him and get the confidence that way, feel really good about what Nuzu can do. Even before that, watching him in practice, doing some of the things he was able to do, watching the continuity between him and Mike just throughout the season with those guys being, you know, the twos at certain points of the season and the ones at certain parts of the season. I feel really good about those guys, but definitely trying to make it a competitive stage at all walks of life when you talk about competitive positions.
He's talking about Ryan Neuzel, guys. He is going to be center number one. He's talking about they had 8 games to look at him. So center, we now know. Drew Dahlman, gone. Neuzel's in. Offensive line.
I like Neuzel, by the way. As you said, how you know he's good? We never talked about him.
No, I think we're fine there. But this edge thing, like, you can never have enough edge. You can't say that and then don't draft edge.
Well, the latest mock draft from NFL Network has us taking, I know it was ESPN this morning, Michael Green from Marshall, who made all the news by just, you know, smacking around the guy from Oregon down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Yeah.
So, look, that's a guy. I've seen mock drafts where all the Georgia guys that we want are gone by the time we select, and somewhere there's still some around. So it really comes down to the evaluation. How does, unfortunately, a scouting staff, which has taken some big risks on guys that haven't paid off. Now, they got the Bergeron thing right on offensive line. They got Troy Anderson wrong. Ebba Cady's been solid, Carl, but he hasn't really popped into that elite level. Although this is a contract year. Maybe he'll be extra super motivated, but it doesn't help him unless there's somebody opposite him. This year he's going to have a guy who's pretty good, you know, edge rush.
No doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, it is our daily download, guys, that we broadcast live from Buffalo's Cafe here in Cumming. Daily downloads brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. We got a lot to get to in the NFL. 4th-and-1's on the way in less than 10 minutes, so stay right there.
What'd you make of the friggin' Hawks?
It was terrible. I just thought the effort was not there last night. Trey had another great game, right? But Mike, these are the games you have to win. And you know, I said it, the Trailblazers aren't going anywhere. Matter of fact, this is the second time they've beaten us. They beat us on the road earlier in the season. We went out west, didn't show up, right? Jalen Johnson played in that game. Like, you had your full assessment of players. Now you've been banged up, injured, trades have gone down. You come back home, you beat Milwaukee handily, and then you come back home and don't do anything.
You put 140 plus on the Bucks. This is a game that was really, I thought, lost in the second half.
It was.
They came out and Portland made some plays, and they ran some stuff that we just couldn't adjust to. Perimeter defense struggled. We shot abysmally from three-point range. How bad? 7 for 32. We've had a couple of real clunkers from the arc. Like, everybody in the NBA is throwing 30 plus. We're actually on the low end right now when you consider what the Celtics do on a nightly basis. We shot 21.9 from three. The bench was mediocre at best. Veet was your leading scorer with 13 off the pine. So, unfortunately, this is the game. And we talked about, we spent like about 20 minutes on this last night before the show ended, about do you buy into the Hawks when we just get this close to being above 500, then we take 2 steps back.
Yeah, and last night, you know, again, I know they're in the Western Conference, but all these games add up when you talk about your overall record. You now own the tiebreaker against Milwaukee. So if Milwaukee and the Hawks finished same record, you could be the 6th seed. So that's why this matters, and you let that one slip away. I want you to hear Dyson Daniels, by the way. He stopped by TNT. It was nice. TNT giving him some love, okay?
Right on.
He stopped by TNT and was talking to the guys
there. A rare national moment for us,
right?
Well,
we don't get enough of this stuff, but Dyson was asked about, you know, players not wanting him to defend him. He's averaging 3, almost 4 steals a game, leading the league.
Yeah, I mean, I've really started to see it this year. I think it's become kind of my go-to, my prowl is on the defensive end of the floor. But ever since I was a junior, you know, playing back in Australia, it's been my instinct, you know, being a step ahead, being able to read the ball and know where it's going and be in the passing lanes. And you know, for me, I like to bait people into things. You know, I think that's a big thing, you know, is using your eyes, you know, pretending you're not looking, you know, playing off someone and then, you know, having that quick first step where I can attack the passing lanes and stuff like that. So it's all about, you know, baiting my defender and, you know, just trying to get that edge on them.
More and more people are becoming familiar with Dyson Daniels. Those kinds of appearances on TNT, they help. Right. Again, we're pushing for him to be the defensive player of the year. It's an uphill battle simply because, to Mike's point, and Mike Conte said it the other day, have we been on national TV enough, Mike, for folks to say, man, this Dyson Daniels dude.
No, unless we get to play in and we're playing, you know, against the Celtics or Cavs in that 2 versus 7. So we have Plunder from Down Under. That's mine. We have the Great Barrier Thief.
That's the one everybody uses.
Well, what's wrong with Plunder from Down Under?
Nothing.
Now you're being dismissive of my creativity.
It isn't, but the Great Barrier Thief is like, that is really good.
How about this? That's not a steal. This is a steal. I'm just throwing it out there.
And his teammate gave it to him.
That's not a turnover. This is a turnover.
Larry Nance Jr. Yeah. gave that to him. And right. I think he gave it to him like a day before we came on the radio and started talking about what his nickname should be. And you gave that excellent answer. But I just think the great beard, like that is awesome. Anyways, he had 10 boards last night. Trey had 29 and 15 assists. Typical Trey kind of game. But this is what Trey said afterwards.
I just think we played too slow. I think you got to give them credit. They kind of slowed us down by picking me up full and not kind of letting us get out in transition. Anytime we did, we were able to score easy. Anytime we played fast, we were able to score easy. So they did a good job, and especially to end the first half and really the second half in spurts on like just slowing us down and making us play half court. And we just got to do a better job of executing and playing through physicality.
Yeah, and we just heard from Oren last night. What'd you say, Oren?
Hawks had an 8-second violation out of a timeout last night.
How does that happen?
Well, that's not – I could buy that in college basketball, but not in the pros. So this gets back to, you know, poise and at home, and are you taking a team for granted? I don't know. We're not in a position where we can take a team with more losses than you are for granted. But this is why, as fans, we're trying to – like, we're not trying to sell you on the Hawks. Either you believe or you don't, but we're in the play-in game. We're still stuck there, although we're the best of the playing teams. But you look at it, you lose a game like that. How are you going to beat or compete with Cleveland or Boston, whoever comes out two or seven?
Mike, you're right. Listen, it's going to be very, very difficult. Hey, we got more NFL stuff to get to, more NFL news, including what Jerry Jones had to say. Art Rooney seems like he knows something we don't. Find out what that is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.